weekend. It gives me great pleasure to have the meeting over to Kai.
Brilliant. Thanks, sir. My name's Kai Minetti.
Hi, Kai.
I feel very nervous and a bit excited and very self-obsessed, and sometimes I jumble things up when I feel like that. Okay. I mean, I was just thinking the other night, as it goes, I was somewhere the other day. I was, you know, we've just had the Jubilee, and I'm not a royalist in any way or anything like that. And I was on the Jubilee. I was just down on Pall Mall, and you know, the whole God Save the Queen thing came up and stuff like that. And I was on the stepladder, and I'm a photographer, and I was on the stepladder, and I was working, and I just remember thinking to myself, how did it come to this? Do you know what I mean? And being very, very happy for a moment. And I was on the stepladder next to my pal, was on the stepladder. And I said, you know, we're so bloody lucky. Do you know what I mean? And with him, I was talking. He was relating and identifying with me in a work way. And I just meant, in my mind, so much more than that. Do you know what I mean? You know? I mean, I came here 7 years ago, 2005 in the January, and I was on a massive methadone script, and I was on lots of Valium and everything else, and I didn't have a clue how to get clean, you know. And I'd reached a point in my life where I hated everything I had in my life, do you know what I mean? And I didn't know how to stop. And over the years, I tried to stop in different situations through jails, etc., etc. And every time I used again. And I thought, once an addict, always an addict. And once an addict, but always a using addict. And I believe that, you know, and everybody I saw, sort of the best it got for them was being on scripts and sort of getting through the life, just going to the chemist every day, picking up the script, trying hard not to blow a gyro or whatever on it, on drugs. And that's sort of where it ended up for me. In the beginning, taking drugs, you know, I felt camaraderie with people. You know, I grew up in the countryside, and we used to have beach parties in the summer and everything else, and I come from a family, you know, to smoke puff and stuff like that. And I remember when I first started smoking weed and getting into trouble and bits and pieces, or, you know, before I'd get into trouble, maybe I'd just black out at a party or something like that. And people were like, Kai, do you remember what you did Saturday night? And I remember thinking, you know, I was just centre of attention for a little bit, do you know what I mean? And I remember really, really enjoying that. I went from being probably a bit awkward and not really fitting in, really wanted to fit in, and I'd tell jokes and make everyone else laugh, but I felt quite separate. And I went from that to being like the talk of a place, you know, and I really enjoyed that. You know, I really, really enjoyed that. And I had a sort of camaraderie, and I liked the whole thing about drugs, and I liked the seediness of it all. And I sort of felt that I connected, you know. And I've shared this a few times, you know, the first time I remember having a drink was at a school disco. And I'd be too self-obsessed to dance. And I'd want to get up and dance with the girls and have a good time and stuff like that. And my mates wouldn't, I'd be stood with my sort of foot up against the wall, my arms crossed. And I'd be just like, look at those twats, you know. And my mates that were getting up and dancing, you know, and that's what I wanted to do. And with a few drinks in me, I was able to get up and have a good time. You know? And so I couldn't wait for that to happen again. You know, at 17, I was in a rehab. I thought the world had gone nuts that I was in a rehab, didn't know why I was in there. Didn't have a clue, and I thought, I'm going to drink and I'm going to puff when I get out of here. And I hadn't stuck needles in my groin at that stage or in my neck or anywhere else, you know, and I thought, I'm not an addict. And I suppose at the end of so that's 17 years old, and when I used again, it got worse. And then I suppose, you know, I try to clean up over the years, different times and different situations. And I always thought that if I moved away or my circumstances would change, or if I got money, it would help. It would sort my situation out, you know. And it never did, you know. And in 2000 and 2005, I just reached a place where I'd been to jail lots. I'd lost lots of my mates. I'd ripped off most of my family. I felt absolutely shit. I was running around earning money for people I hated. And I got sent to this course in Wales. Many people have heard this, that have heard me share before. The homeless hostel I was in said, go away to Wales, go on this team bonding experience, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't get on the first one because I couldn't get it together. Went on the second one and had 5 or 6 days out of London. People that were really, really sound. And at the end of it, I was due to come back to London the next day, and I broke down. I was on my own in Wales for that moment, and I thought, I can't fucking go on with this. Do you know what I mean? And I didn't know, I was totally broken in that moment, do you know what I mean? Because I didn't know where to go, or every time I tried to get clean before, I believe that thing, I've tried to get clean so many times and it's never worked. And it's not going to work now, and I didn't know how to, you know. So I came back. The course was run by recovering addicts. They said, come to a meeting. Went to a meeting. It was Brixton. That was at the end of January. And I struggled for the first few months. I was still on lots of drugs and everything else. And I was chatting away to people. And I was just talking shit for a few months. And I got my first day clean, really. You know, and I was so full of fear. When I got clean, you know, I picked up a nervous twitch in recovery, I think, do you know what I mean? And I used to walk around flicking my face to see if I was still here. You know, I was totally, I think that the act of, like, being abstinent was just fucking freaky. Do you know what I mean? It was like everything you have to deal with, absolutely everything. And I think, you know, when I came in, I came from a very damaged place. I wasn't speaking to family members. I spoke to my mum 5 years prior to coming here, tell her what a bitch she'd been. I didn't speak to my old man. I didn't, you know, my sisters, I'd shit all over them. And so I came in pretty damaged. And everything just seemed like a massive task. I mean, everything that I did just seemed like a massive task. You know, I remember the first time getting a gyro, thinking, how the fuck am I going to not score? You know, I just didn't know, like, on a real basic level. And I got hooked up quite early with a sponsor. And people said to me, get a sponsor. And we were good mates, and I didn't really know about sponsorship or anything. And I thought, for people that have been here before, that have just come back or whatever, I thought I knew, you know, what sponsorship was, because I'd had brief moments of coming to NA over the years. And I didn't really have a clue, you know. I just thought, oh, somebody that'll do, that'll be a good sponsor. He's my mate, he's on step two. Great, you know, and I knew I was catching up quite fast, you know, and I knew that I saying it had to be different. I sort of reached that place of desperation where I knew that it was over if I didn't do it. Do you know what I mean? I absolutely knew it was over. And as a kid, you know, I was so full of hopes and dreams. As a kid, you know, I was a little bit awkward, but I was so full of dreams and hopes, you know, and I was quite lucky, you know. I kept hold of those, I think, right up until probably the last sort of 2 years of my using, where an ex-girlfriend of mine said, you know, what the fuck happened? You know, you always was going to be a photographer, he's going to do this, he's going to do that, what happened? And I just said, I'm a junkie, you know, and that was a couple of years before I got clean. I think that was such a big sort of turning stone for me, to turn around and actually admit it, because I knew I was, and I didn't know how to break free of that. Do you know what I mean? And so, like, those sort of dreams went. So I got here, started going to meetings, started to feel better. 9 months clean, I started to come up against a bit of a wall, really, where I wasn't really working the steps, and I was going to lots of meetings. I was doing loads and loads of service, and my life was all about me. And I wasn't really getting any better other than that I was clean. And I remember one day, and I was so freaked out, I used to get panic attacks. Anybody gets panic attacks? You know, I used to get panic attack after panic attack after panic attack. And I'd be on a bus, and I'd think, I've got to get off the fucking bus. You know, I'd be freaking out, you know. And I thought I was beyond help. I got the guy that sponsors me now. He sponsored me, and he gave me some clear-cut directions. And he just said, look, I want you to read some literature, I want you to phone me every day. And everything I did, I questioned. I was like, why do you want me to phone you every day? Well, you know, what if you want to fucking use, you know, you don't know how to pick up the phone. And then I'd be like, and then he'd be like, well, you don't want to share your step five with a stranger. You know, it was all good advice. And as soon as I put some action in, And as soon as I felt I had somebody on my corner, I started to improve quite dramatically, finding as well. And I started to prove, and I started to get some hope, you know. And I started to realise what was wrong with me, you know, that reading about, you know, realising we were sick people after we came here. I didn't realise how much of a problem I had till I got here, do you know what I mean? And I, for years I thought it was the drugs, I thought it was just certain drugs, and I thought, put drugs down, I'll be okay, and why is it I keep going back to using drugs every time I'm clean? I know the damage of them, I've been in jail loads, I've ripped off family that I absolutely love, you know, and I go back to it. And I realised then that I have to do something in recovery to make that different, you know. My biggest obstacle is me, right? I get in the way of absolutely everything that comes up, right? And the core of my illness is self-obsession, and it fucks me. Do you know what I mean? On a bad day, it will rule me. Do you know what I mean? Somebody will give me a good opportunity at work, and the first thing that will come up, I'll come up against is, in my mind, oh shit, I don't know if I can do that. Do you know what I mean? After a bit of work, I realise that I'll be fine and I'll get through it and everything else. But that is a very first thought, you know. And when Gary said to me a few weeks ago, you know, will you do the chair, John, you know, will you do the 40 minutes? I was like, no, I won't do the 40 minutes, I'll do 15, you know. And then just like, very quickly, you know, I can come up against stuff and I can run with it or I can go with it or whatever. You know, sponsorship's been a key in what I've done. Sorry, I've made some stuff here, I've wrote some stuff down. The biggest thing is working through the steps and looking the world in the eye. You know, I think that's the thing. You know, self-obsession robs me of absolutely everything and stops me from taking any kind of, like, risks in life to enjoy life. I think, I don't want to do that. I don't want to fly because I'm scared of flying, or I don't want to do that because I'm scared of that. And then all of a sudden, I'm just backed into a corner again, you know, and I have to take steps against that. Just very quickly, I want to just chat, just very on amends, because amends were so, so powerful. And I know, you know, I've got 15 minutes, it's not long enough to obviously go into all. As a result of making amends when the time was right, some great stuff's happened. So my mum, who I owed loads of financial amends to, I didn't know how to pay her back. I wasn't in a situation. I couldn't wait to make the amends till I had the money to pay her back. And I made the amends to my mum and said, look, you know, how I harmed you was wrong. And I kept in contact and I made the effort and tried to amend all the stuff and continued to try and make amends for the stuff I fucked up. And she said, I want you to, you know, she phoned me up a year later and she said, Kai, can you come down and paint my house? She said, I've got something for you. She said, you know that financial amends? She said, I'll get back to you on it. I said, yeah. She said, okay. She said, can you come down and paint my house? I was like, okay, cool. And I was down there and I was painting her house. My gran lived up the road and she was still alive at the time. My mum's got like this council house. It's okay, you know, it's small. And my gran's got this fucking great big house up the road, right? And the same thing happened to my gran. You know, I took money off her and everything else when I was younger. And she said, oh, I'll have that done to mine, you know. And it's been like that, you know. I had no idea how financially I'd get by. I made an amends to my ex-girlfriend, and as I said, I was a photographer. I worked through some of the time that I was taking drugs as well. And I had a huge box of films to process. And now I'm so gutted about this. And I was just like, she said, you know, I'd helped her clear out her place and stuff like that. And she was like, what do you want to do with these? And I said, well, let's bin them. Because I just didn't have any self-belief that one day I'd have the money to sit down and process them or get to a dark room or whatever to print them all up. And I was just thinking, you know, how different that is now, you know. And it's funny, today, you know, I've been working and my daughter was with me and she was working as well, sort of, and just fucking great. I don't know how that changed from coming in here absolutely desperate, feeling everything's hard work that signed on, to becoming like self-supporting, have mates, feel loved, you know what I mean? I don't feel like I'm freaked out the whole time anymore. And how does that happen, you know? In fact, I know how it happens, but it's just a great thing. That's my 5 minutes done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Bye.